This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. We continue. It is hour number two. We've got the good, the bad, and the dumb coming up. We've been kind of buzzing this morning about the expansion of the college football playoff. It came down yesterday that Rose Bowl has unblocked what it has been blocking with this potential. We could get it as 2024. As quickly as that, we could have a 12-team playoff. It's going to make this year, next year, seem pedestrian, right? We are going to get to a point where when this is all finalized and done, and it's going to be 2024, we're going to be this year like, well, all right. Next year is going to be almost silly when you think about it. If you have on deck a 12-team playoff in 2024, we are going to just roll our eyes at 2023. We really are. Everything is going to be in the lens of what 2024 could bring. Everything. Like, if there's a super close game in November where you're like, oh my God, the number one team in the country is going down, it will be like, next year, this won't matter. We'll be in heavy debate. You know, Kirk Herbstreit will be on our TV talking about how silly this is, that this team is, that'll be done. All of it. And I'm kind of interested to see where this plays out. In case you were kind of wondering about the Rose Bowl situation, it was locked into New Year's Day. It wanted to remain locked in New Year's Day. It's going to be flexible with the college football playoff. But the one question that I do have on this is, what does this mean for the very, very crowded football schedule that it's going to create when the NFL has sort of owned it at a period of time, right? NFL just sort of waits for college to do its thing. It's like, oh, those bowl games are cute. Those bowl games are nice. Then they go, but then we kind of own it now. It's ours. Like, you get games on Saturday. You get playoff games, obviously, that run the whole month of January. Where will it all sort of fill in? Where will it be in the landscape that the NFL kind of wants to own? We'll see when we get to that in 2024. But nevertheless, it is here. If you're young and you've been wondering why the elders of your life have tolerated what we've tolerated in this sport for decades and decades, you're probably rolling your eyes at this. And if you're very, very old school like me and remember a time when the AP just went, here's your champion, it has been a very wild decade plus of trying to figure out who should raise the trophy for the national championship of college football. Good, the bad, and the dumb coming up as we continue with Wake Up Call.
Wake Up Call continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Time for the good.
That's really nice.
The bad.
That's the bad guy.
And the dumb.
What an idiot. Oh, what a loser.
All right, good, the bad, and the dumb. In a throwback Thursday, 1984, Doug Flutie wins the Heisman Trophy on this date. But, you know, that was good, but not as good as the good of the day.
Well, I'm having issues because I don't know which good to talk about.
Oh, okay, so there's multiple goods?
There's multiple goods, but I think, you know what, I think I'm going to lean more towards the Jets.
All right.
Because, you know, the Jets have had a lot of bad lately, and I think this could be a good. Because there's a state senator that wants the Jets to move back to the Queens.
Oh, okay.
And that way the New York Jets would actually be playing in New York for the first time.
They used to play at Chase Stadium.
Yeah. And so there's a project going on. I can't remember, but New York, what is it, New York FC? Not the Red Bulls,
complex.
Team.
Yeah, they're talking about building a soccer complex.
They're planning on building a soccer complex in Queens, but there could be enough, and obviously that's not going to be big enough for the Jets, but there's enough room in that area to build an NFL stadium. And so they're really making a push like, hey, we're already building this. Why not build this? Get the Jets to come back, because the Jets and the Giants can opt out of their lease in 2024.
Oh, they just built that stadium.
Yeah, but you know the rules.
Why didn't they lock those teams in forever? That was a multi-billion dollar stadium.
Of course. Every stadium is a multi-billion
dollar stadium. Well, it wasn't then. Back then, I mean, when Jerry Jones built his, he topped a billion, and that became the first one. they were building it like right afterwards. And people were talking about how much more expensive the labor was in New York, and it was going to be over a billion. Yeah, now it's now
stadiums
are $2
billion. But I don't even think you can get a billion-dollar
stadium. That stadium is new, but it's not newer. It's not SoFi. And it's and it doesn't have a roof. It doesn't have a retractable roof. It's just a stadium. But it was very expensive based on the land and the labor costs in New York. I mean, you should you should read about when they do subway stuff. People making $400 an hour based on different parameters of where it's crazy. But nevertheless, they just built it.
Yeah,
I mean, not that long ago. I mean, within what 10 years? MetLife Stadium? And the Jets and the Giants could just leave?
Yeah.
What are they going to do with
it? I'm sorry, 2025. I was off by my years.
Still, though,
so
that's
they can opt out 2025.
Up?
Yeah. No, I mean, literally, that's right around the corner. And if you break ground on a stadium, say, today, you would have it ready by 2025.
Yeah. So, big question on this. Did the article or did the information say that this was actually a thing that could happen, or was this just a politician's, I'll just throw it out there and just see what people say?
It could
say.
Be a politician's thing, just throwing it out there, but there seems to be kind of a movement to like, hey, let's bring them back to New York. Because, I mean, they played in Shea Stadium.
They played Shea Stadium.
All the way up until like 83,
I believe.
In fact,
when I was a kid, I had a Jets pennant. That shows a jet figure jump flying out of it's very old, flying out of Shea Stadium. I wonder if I still have that around in my collection. But yeah, I used to have that.
But so. I thought the Jets should get some good run because they've had a lot of negativity as of late.
Yeah.
Especially since the big talk is maybe the impending divorce of the Jets and Zach Wilson.
Well, remember that for many, many years they used to play in Giants Stadium. They didn't even play in Jets Stadium.
Right.
They played in Giants. It was called Giants Stadium. So it was like, we're like paying rent, on the place. So when they built MetLife, they built it so that there was like the Jets had an equal sort of presence in the stadium that the Giants had. And we'll see. But I don't know.
I mean, it'd be interesting.
Yeah.
But, I'll share the other good because I'm keeping with the royal theme because the Jets move into Queens. But the other royal news in America was that King-to-be?
Yeah.
Prince William?
Or
not Prince Charles. Prince William and Princess Kate took in a Celtics game.
They're very popular.
Sat courtside. And it just dawned on me. It's like, we don't send NBA games to London, do we?
We did, but
yeah, we did.
Do
but
we do that still?
We don't do it anymore.
We don't do it anymore? There's no one's going to play at O Arena this year? But I remember like the Knicks played there like last year or something.
Yeah, he apparently knows basketball.
Well, yeah.
Because Jason Tatum was going off and he turned to Kate and said, he's good.
Yeah, well, that's good. That's good that the Prince realized that Jason Tatum was a good basketball player.
Especially when Jason Tatum throwing up 49 points.
Now, does he know NFL? Because we've exported that product over there a few times. Does he know NFL?
Did he ever go?
Yeah, does he
go to a game? I don't know.
What a life he has, huh? King in waiting.
That's all. I mean, he literally is just waiting for his dad to die
so he can get his job. That's the tough thing about being royalty, right? Isn't it?
Yeah.
Where you don't want your father or mother to die, but at the same time, you're like, but... I get to be
King William. Sounds kind of nice.
Yeah, I don't want to say the K word, but you know what I mean. It's like terrible.
Yeah,
it's like
it really is.
It really is. I mean, like you because
can't
here's
they
the thing.
Make a rule like at one point Charles just says I'm just going to retire.
I know the world has been filled with plenty of stories of successful patriarchs who've run companies where the son is like, I can't wait till dad dies so I can take the company over. We've had all those kind of weird, bizarre stories. But when you are a prince or a princess or whatever, you are groomed to eventually take the job. Like your whole life is around one day you being this individual.
Right.
So you are basically taught from infancy on that one day you will have all of this and you better be ready to do it. And so you train and you work and you understand the role and you understand the job and you understand the protocol. And then it's unfortunate, but there's a desire to have it. Right. So he probably is like, well, I don't want my dad to die, but I kind of do want to be king eventually.
Well, that's what I mean. What his lot in life, right? He hasn't fulfilled his life
He has, life right, yet. Exactly. Exactly. And not to get all royalty on people, but it's a weird thing because it's, you feel like you've been sort of appointed by the heavens, if you will, right? Like that God touched you and said, you're going to have this.
That's how it happened in the first place.
Right, right. So, yeah. Right. So did you feel like this is like my heavenly destiny, but in order to achieve it, I got to be like, Dad, if you could get out of here.
That's how they got the throne.
Right.
The good Lord blessed them and said, you guys are the royals.
Real quick, are we in the, is this country in the Kate, like she, like Diana? Like,
because
Diana was like a whirlwind phenomenon. Are we like, are the women like Gaga for what Kate is wearing or anything?
Or
like
is
that,
she,
or?
Is she,
I didn't even know they were in the country. So,
is she too polite?
Is she, yeah.
Yeah, they're in Boston, hanging out in Boston, taking in the Boston sights and sounds.
Right.
And then
you know what?
When they take to the White House later, but
when they take the Royals, here's a great question: if you are Boston, if you are the Boston representative, and you meet the Royals at the airport, and you go, "Hey, we'd like to take you around Boston," do you go, "And this is where we dumped T, and this is Bunker Hill"?
I think
and
you have
this
to.
This is where Paul Revere saw the two lanterns.
And we
this,
lit them for you because the British are coming.
Exactly. And we lit them for you. And this is where John Hancock did this. And, like, do you do that?
Because I would. Yeah, or do you take him to John Hancock's grave and go, you guys want to stomp all over it? I mean, there you go. You guys can go ahead. Here's your moment.
Like, do you just take them to Revolutionary War sites just to sort of remind them exactly where they are?
What else is there in Boston?
Do you go, hey, this is where we dumped the tea. Too soon? Sorry, I didn't. This right here is where... Where we did it.
Or do you do a slyly like, hey, do you guys want to go get a cup of tea? No, great place.
Yeah, exactly.
Right by the harbor.
I know a great place by the harbor. That's a great thing. That's what you should do if you're Boston. Right? All right, we're going to go long on this.
Yeah.
It's our
eventually,
fault.
Eventually, you know, you do have to take them on a duck boat tour, right?
Oh, I guess, right?
Do you take them to the, you know, USS Constitution?
Yeah. That's another thing. Take them on a tour of the USS Constitution. Exactly.
Yeah, these guys did some damage, didn't they?
Yeah, it'd be great. I would be great. If
yeah,
you
this
did that.
This good, the bad, the dumb is going
to
go long.
Okay, so we are gonna do the rest of it coming up to the break
because we haven't even hit the bad or the dumb.
Right,
and the bad, you're going to go off on for a while.
Can't get enough of the Royals going to the Celtics game last night. By the way, I remember when I was in New England, there was a real quick story. So when I was in New Hampshire, I was covering – there was a period of time – a lot of people don't remember this, but there was a period of time where the Patriots were being sold, and there was a thought – there really was a thought about them possibly moving to St. Louis. I know it wasn't a huge, huge deal, but there was a moment in the 90s where they wanted to get out of Foxborough. They were looking at Hartford. They were looking – but there was a possibility they could go to St. Louis, and Robert Kraft ended up buying the team, and Victor Kiam owned the team, and James Orthwine owned the team and whatnot, but there was this period of time, and I remember somebody had suggested that there was this plot of land in South Boston, and they said there's this area in South Boston where you could build the Patriots Stadium. Now, just to make it clear, nobody wants a stadium built near you. Stadiums are where is usually in where the land is cheaper. It's not in a good part of town. Nobody wants the hassle of a stadium with you. So I'll never forget a guy in the newsroom said, old news guy said, hey, they're not building a stadium in South Boston. And I said, why? He goes, look, those people dumped tea in the water because they didn't want to pay taxes for it. They're not putting a stadium in South Boston. And I was like, oh, that's very true. He goes, I was like, great point, great point. And I never forgot that. So whenever somebody talks about where they would put a stadium, I always go, not there. They will not allow it there. All right, we'll continue with the good, the bad, and the dumb as we continue on a Throwback Thursday on Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, 1984 Throwback Thursday. Doug Flutie wins the Heisman on this date. Some good music today if you grew up in that era. A little Footloose for you.
No, we haven't had too many one-hit wonders, though.
No. In the 80s had a bunch of them, but you're right. This probably
but 84,
period of time
I mean, I'm
was...
looking through them. 84 didn't really have a whole lot of one-hit wonders.
Yeah, they probably, this was probably a good time. This is when you were like, can I get the 10 albums for a penny? Exactly. And I'll buy six.
This is like every song you're singing, you can remember this music video.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's when music video, like that's MTV, right. was really at its height, was in 84. Yeah,
exactly. We're continuing the good, the bad, and the dumb because we got on a Royals in Boston thing.
It's a royally pain.
Yeah. I love. You told me that they chanted USA when they appeared
they
on the
did. Jumbo. I mean,
great job, Boston. Yeah, well done.
Do you expect anything less from Boston?
Well done.
Like we said, the future king and queen were sitting courtside at the Celtics game, and they flashed their picture on the Jumbotron at TD Garden, and the whole crowd just broke out in USA chant.
Awesome. Yeah, because if there's one place that understands, the history of British tyranny, it is the people of Boston. All right, so what is the bad of the day?
The bad of the day. I almost feel like I should skip this one.
All right.
Let's go to the dumb.
The
bad... The bad deals with the Broncos. So, I know you're going to go off.
Okay, all right. So, let's get the dumb of the day.
The dumb of the day is Arizona State's Marcus Bagley has been suspended from the team.
Why?
Because he went on Twitter to explain why he hasn't been playing and owned up to him making a mistake. The reason why he, after a game against the University of Grand Canyon or something like that, or Northern Arizona, a smaller school in Arizona, he didn't go into detail of what he said, but he said something to head coach Bobby Hurley.
Bobby Hurley.
And Bobby Hurley took offense and pretty much benched him. And that's why he hadn't played in like the last two or three games. Bobby Hurley gave him some excuse like, he's nagging injury, blah, 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 whatever. And he went on Twitter saying, no, guys, I'm perfectly healthy. I'm perfectly fine. I made a mistake. He owned up to what he was saying and blasted it all over social media, which ended up actually getting him officially suspended by the team.
So the team suspended him because he basically spilled some dirty laundry?
Yeah.
So he basically admitted, like, this is the real story because he contradicted his coach's real story?
Right.
Yeah. Okay, I agree. I would like that because I agree with Marvin Bagley. I agree with him as a fan. I could see Bobby Hurley's like upset and it's like, hey, I have a system here. I have a way of doing things.
Right.
Don't circumvent what I'm trying to do here.
But what it does is that it takes the focus in that one direction. You don't, as a head coach, you don't want the focus to be on. You want the focus to be on the team.
Right.
X's and O's that are on the court. And now, Bobby Hurley, the players are having to field questions, and then it kind of dives into more about Bobby Hurley, like, asking the players, hey, is he a good coach? What does he do in the locker room? Start prying into personal things other than just making it about basketball.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
I mean, it's a dumb on Marcus Bagley for coming forward, but at the same time, Arizona State, Bobby Hurley, you guys can get ahead of this a little bit better.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, exactly. Because, it depends on, did Marvin Bagley feel like he was defending himself for something that Bobby Hurley had said?
I think he was just being honest. He was just being honest. He was letting everyone know that he's 100% healthy.
Oh, okay.
Because there were rumors circulating that, the reason why he hasn't been playing is because he wasn't healthy.
Got it. Because that's what Bobby Hurley was giving to the media.
Right.
And then he comes out and says, no. And he goes, wait, dude.
This is why I'm sitting, is because I said something I shouldn't have to the coach. And, I've gotten in trouble for that.
He
was coming out ahead.
So this is similar to when your wife goes out of town and you give the kids ice cream for dinner. And then she comes back and you say, no, we had a very nutritious dinner last night of chicken and some beans and some, vegetables. And the kids go, no, Dad, we had ice cream. And you're like,
don't you remember?
It's like, you're not seeing the big picture here, child. I'm trying to just let this go away.
Right.
Right.
Trying to brush it under the rug.
Right. Exactly. Try to brush it under the rug. So Bobby Hurley was like, oh, yeah, he's hurt because he didn't want to get into details. And then, okay. All right. So now what's the bad of the day?
Because I know this one you'll like. Tom Pelissero. We know him. Respected right? NFL journalist.
Journalist, yeah.
Is reporting that Nathaniel Hackett has not lost the locker room in Denver.
You got to be kidding.
But Russell Wilson has.
Yes. Okay. I'm buying that. Yes.
But
Nathaniel Hackett hasn't either?
No, apparently the players really do like Nathaniel Hackett. They like what he's – I mean, obviously he can't win on the field and he can't really coach. makes too many mistakes, but they like him. You know, and he hasn't lost the locker room, but Russell Wilson has. And you can point to another thing that he recently had a big old birthday extravaganza, and I think it was less than half of his teammates showed up.
Okay, I saw this story. Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. I saw this story, and I've seen people criticize the story to say that people were reaching on this. But I think it's a legit thing.
Okay, I do too.
If Patrick Mahomes' wife was having a birthday celebration, I think every single Kansas City Chief player would attend.
Yeah.
Josh Allen, the same thing.
Unless they had a wedding to go to.
Like, I'm serious. This is unless they had a wedding to go to, of course, because you always go to the wedding. Always. But if you're a half glass, half full, half empty situation, right?
Yep.
Do you look at it as half the team showed up to his birthday party, or do you look at that half the team did not show up to his birthday party?
No, I mean, you're absolutely. I mean, if Patrick Mahomes said it, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, let's name, you know, Justin Herbert, name like some of the top quarterbacks in the league right now who, I mean, God, I'll even say Justin Fields. I think a lot more people show up to Justin.
If she's bringing cake and food and stuff, you'd go, say happy birthday.
Zach Wilson might be the only untouchable. He might be in a similar situation.
Right. And so half of the team decided no. I think because they're getting sick and tired of showboat prima donna Russell Wilson?
It has to be, right? It has to be.
Right?
I mean, there's
Mr.
just.
Mr. Let's Ride.
Just, and, it's just too much.
Absolutely doing zero. It's amazing, though, that Nathaniel Hackett has not lost the locker room either. You must be a real player's coach not lost the locker room.
I can see him still getting fired at the end of the season.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know.
Like here's the deal. I could play for the Broncos. If I played for the Broncos, I could be like, man, I think Nathaniel Hackett's a good dude. I like him. He listens to me. I've gone to him with a couple of concerns. He hears me out. He's really easy to talk to. Really a guy that's working hard. Every time I see him, he's always in the office. He's always going over film. He's really trying hard. I could see it in the games, how intense he is, really, really trying to win his football games. But then if the owner goes, he's fired, I'd go, yeah, but that's the breaks. You know, I could be like that, where I go, I get it. Like, I wouldn't be mad. I would be like, yeah, you got to win in this league. We're not winning. But I could see where the players are like, he checks off all the boxes of things I want in a head coach, other than us winning games. Like, I'll give you a perfect example. There are people in the league that wouldn't play for Belichick in the heyday of the Patriots because they didn't like the way he coached, even if it meant possibly getting a Super Bowl ring. Not everybody was like, I'll go to New England. Like, there were plenty of people like, I'm not gonna be coached by that guy. But maybe they're like, this guy does everything I want.
I was thinking about this the other day. I think this will go down as the worst trade in history.
I think so, too. I think it has that potential.
But I think, you know, I think it's not just the worst trade in history. It's the fact that the Broncos overpaid before him setting foot on the field because they didn't have to pay him.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. I think if you go with the draft picks and the players, you know, Drew Lock, Noah Fant, a bunch of picks – you could go, in hindsight, you know, hindsight is always 20/20. But at the time, that seemed like you didn't have a quarterback. You hadn't had a quarterback in a long time.
I don't think we was called the worst trade in history. It was like, God, no. You know, that one
just didn't work out.
It didn't work out.
Right. You say you gave up some capital. You made attempt. It didn't work out, but you tried. You tried to get a legitimate
and you can't
Pro Bowl level
that.
Quarterback. You didn't have one. You tried everybody. And Russell Wilson was the better one on paper than anybody else you were bringing in.
But signing him to, what, it was a five-year deal?
Five-year extension during the day we did the Broncos preview. Brandon Cristall was like, and just before we came on, it was announced that he got a five-year extension. Before he took one official snap with the team,
he had given a five-year extension. That's where this becomes the worst trade ever,
That moment. Because now it looks like...
Now you're tied to him.
You're not getting
any
younger.
I mean, what are you going to cut him?
We said this at the time. You've got a division where Patrick Mahomes, Justin Herbert, Derek Carr at the beginning of the season looked like the Raiders could do some stuff. So you needed to be bold. But you didn't need to be that bold. Like, it wasn't going anywhere. You're right. Like, it wasn't going anywhere. Like, you could see a year where you go, okay, guess what? We went 8-10.
Right.
And you know what? That's way better.
Well, I mean, Al, you could be right now.
8-9. We went 8-9, and that was way better than we thought. So let's give them a year, and then we'll get another year and roll along with it.
What are they, 4-6, 4-7 right now?
Yeah, they're like,
I mean, you know,
3-8.
You know, you can evaluate right now. Like, okay, do we want to sign this guy? Is he the guy?
Yeah.
Because right now, it's no.
Right now, you are locked into that man for a while.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, thanks for joining us. Cindy Lauper. My God, this morning's been great on a Throwback Thursday. How great is that? Wasn't Lou Albano in this video?
I was about
video?
To say it. Yeah. He was in the. He played her dad. He was also his manager, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. I met him on a plane once.
You did? You met Lou Albano
on a
plane?
I met Lou Albano on a plane.
Oh, wow. Did you talk to him? Or
I went up, talked to him, got his autograph.
Nice.
He didn't have any rubber bands in his nose or ear or anything like that. But, just really, really nice.
I saw Mean Gene Okerlund at the Cincinnati airport one time. He was very upset with a flight that was delayed. He wasn't yelling at the woman. Like, he wasn't like me, but he was very adamant. Like, he had to be on another flight.
Was she hoping he would be mean?
I thought so, right? Yeah. Yeah.
But Mean Gene, was he ever really mean?
No, he was never mean.
He's kind of like the Bob Costas of WWF.
He wasn't mean when he did the interviews.
No.
Right? No.
I don't even know where the title Mean Gene came from.
Exactly. Exactly. Back to the Russell Wilson birthday party.
See, I knew that one would touch you.
I know, because I was just thinking about that. So, what if I'm Russell Wilson?
First of all, before you get into it, when I first saw that headline, the only thing I thought about was you always hear the story of the kid at Chuck E. Cheese.
Yeah.
You know, sitting there and, because he invited the whole class and no one in his class showed up. I was like, is that Russell Wilson at his birthday party?
Those stories are the most heartbreaking
things.
They are the worst stories out there. I mean, there are plenty of, more tragic, but outside of, death, those are just sad stories, man. Your parents put together this party and nobody showed up.
Whenever I hear that story, what I secretly hope is that she put down the wrong date or time.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
That's why. It's not because, the kid's fault.
Ugh.
But, like I said, that's what I pictured Russell Wilson sitting there with a party hat on.
Right.
Music going on, DJs going on in the background. And he's just sitting at a table with his lonesome self.
Happy
birthday.
Why
won't anybody of my friends come here?
To me. Happy birthday to me. Yeah, it's sad. That's it. But does he look at it as half his teammates showed up on a player's day off?
Yay!
Or does he look at it as, where's the rest of the guys?
Yeah.
How do you think Russell Wilson, the way we know Russell Wilson, we don't know him, but how do you think he processed that? Do you think he was like, I'm just glad everybody's here. I'm glad who's ever here is here. I get it. It's just people's day off. They got families. But don't you think Sierra threw a party with good food and drink and she wasn't like, I bought some pizzas and and I got a couple of television screens. She probably had a big swanky party, a big party she prepared. I mean, she's preparing a party for her husband, so I'm wondering if how he processed that. But here's the thing. I saw the defensive player Purcell yell at Russell Wilson, and my first thought was that doesn't look good. But then I also know that I've seen these things before, and both people go, no, it was just intense, just the intensity of the moment. It's all love. It really wasn't meant in any negative way. I was just trying to get them fired up. And that's what both of those guys said after that game. They said, no, it was a place of love, just trying to get fired up. But at the same time, I'm like, but that's also what you would say to diffuse any tension that you don't want the media to know. So if you don't want the media and the fans to be thinking that there is some real disconnection between your play and the way the rest of the team feels, then that's something you would say is like a PR move. We're like cleaning this up. But I wonder if the heat of the moment, it actually was said in love. I wonder if it was said in a way that made people, Russell Wilson go, no, man, I love it, man. I love it. No, he's just trying to get us fired up. Rather than, oh, my God, this guy's ready to kill me because I can't move the offense and I can't score. Now, the defense at the time had given up a touchdown, so he was trying to get Russell Wilson fired up to answer that. But at the same time, the offense was putting the defense in a terrible situation all day in that game against Carolina because the offense couldn't move the football. Isn't it weird that the Broncos scored 3 points and did not score another touchdown? until late in the fourth quarter?
Yes.
Against Carolina?
I mean, they couldn't move the ball.
It's really bizarre.
I said this on Monday. It felt like that touchdown was a consolation, and they had trouble getting that one because remember
it was
like third and goal, and then they had a delay of game, and they backed it up even more. They were like 18 yards out on a third and goal or on first and goal or something like that. They couldn't. I don't know. It was just I don't understand it.
It is. It's like if you keep backing your car up and you keep bumping into a tree. And you just keep doing it over and over again. And people go, you know, eventually he's going to know that there's a tree there. But then they keep doing it. And you go, golly.
Maybe he doesn't know there's a tree there.
Right? Maybe he doesn't. You think every week, you're like, someday this is gonna click. Like one day, because it happens to everybody, one day he's going to throw for three touchdowns and 380 yards. And the Broncos are going to score 30 points. And every week. Every single week, they can't do it. They can't. You go, well, they're playing Carolina. They should easily. Nope. Nope.
See, I think it's
that. They were held to a field goal for 95% of that game. Yeah. They were held to 3 points.
And I think it's the way he's playing on the field and who he is off the field.
I think so, too.
And it's just, you get to this point, it's like, all right, you know, I can't stand either one now. And I don't know what Denver can do. Denver's stuck.
So that leads me to a larger question. Was this always there with him?
Right.
And Seattle was like, you don't get it.
I pulled up an old soundbite of Russell Wilson. This is when he was with Seattle. So I'm thinking, yes, I think he was always there, but maybe since it was in Seattle, we kind of ignored it.
That's what I'm wondering.
Or it never really came. But here's the soundbite.
Hey guys, Russell here. Yes, the typical boring, yes, Russell, the robot Russell, the one you guys love to know. Real exciting. You know, I'm real exciting. But anyways, everybody has to have an alter ego, right? And I've been thinking about what my alter ego would be, and I think I have an alter ego. His name's Mr. Unlimited. Yeah, you gotta be unlimited. You know, you gotta have a thought process of being unlimited. So when people ask you, you know, what you're thinking about or what you want to do in life or where you want to go, you got to be unlimited. Tell them, I'm unlimited. You know what I mean? So when they ask you certain questions like,
who brings you motivation, Russell?
Mr. Unlimited.
Who's your role model, Russell?
Unlimited.
Who is your go-to person for advice, Russell?
They think Pete Carroll. They think this person, think that person. Love you, Pete, but it's Mr. Unlimited, Tom.
He's so funny.
I mean,
this is so bizarre. I remember when that came out and people were thinking that was weird. Now it's even more weird,
now
right?
Yeah, and that was in Seattle.
Right.
Obviously that was in Seattle. I think it was always there.
Yeah, it's this. Okay, so here's the thing. When you are winning and you're going to the postseason, and even if you're not winning Super Bowls and you are winning Super Bowl, it's like, okay, he's quirky, but hey, right? Who else to go to battle with than Russell Wilson, right? But when you can't score and you're losing games and it is an absolute mess, and it makes us go, well, where were the signs that we could sense early at some point in Seattle where this may not work? Right. And this goes back to what we talk about in this league all the time. Right. Now, look, I brought this up when I talked about Deshaun Watson and Cleveland Browns. Russell Wilson is not Deshaun Watson off the field. So I'm not going to make that comparison. But when you are desperate for a quarterback, right, there are things you will just do to just make sure that happens. You'll give up the draft picks. You'll give up the capital. You'll sign extensions that make no sense at the time that you don't have to sign, but you're just genuinely excited. Right. Look, what do we think about when we think about the Cleveland Browns? Right. We think about the fact that they're an organization that has never found a legit starting quarterback.
I think about, you know, the quarterback jersey,
the quarterback jersey. Right. The very famous quarterback jersey. It shows all the list of quarterbacks that have played for that franchise since it came back in 1999.
And
right?
it continues to grow.
So you're that desperate that you say, you know what? Ugh, I don't like this. I don't like what this guy is going to bring to us. But you know what? Where else am I going to go? We've done everything possible. We've done the free agent thing of journeyman guys. We've tried to make certain other players work. We've drafted quarterbacks who don't work out that now are commentators on television. We have done everything possible. We have tried, really tried, to get this position solidified. So where do I get a Pro Bowl quarterback? Well, unfortunately, how you get a Pro Bowl quarterback is when they have worn out their welcome with the franchise that they're with, so much so that they will be in the discussion of a conversation. Now, in Deshaun Watson's case, it's obviously more egregious because of what happened to what he was accused of doing and what later was investigated to be doing. But in Russell Wilson's case, it was a disconnect with Seattle that made the Broncos go, good Lord, have we tried everything. We got this town excited for Joe Flacco, for crying out loud. We tried Teddy Bridgewater, Case Keenum. We drafted Paxton Lynch. Trevor Siemian didn't work out. Brock Osweiler didn't work out. We've done everything we could. Drew Locke didn't work out. We've done everything we could. Here's Russell Wilson. What are the problems with Russell Wilson? Oh, he wants a little bit more say in the offense. We'll give him that. But maybe it was a little bit more than that where Seattle went, ugh, God, it. Yes.
You know what it reminds me of? Like, it reminds me of someone in the Broncos front office calling the Seahawks like months later, like, or this week, going, hey guys, you know, yeah, thanks for hooking us up with Russell Wilson. And then you hear laughter in the background.
Yeah, right.
In Seattle.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, that comical scene, like, yeah, we got you.
Can you imagine the phone call to Seattle about the inquiry of trading Russell Wilson? Hi, George from Denver here. How are you? We're hearing a little bit about you wanting to maybe part ways with Russell if the package is right. No, yeah, let me run that by real quick. Let me put you on hold. Hey, guess what? Who's on the phone? Look who's on the phone. Everybody get over here. Holy cow, what do we do? Oh, this is great. Like, that must have been crazy. There must have been a point where Seattle was like, all right, yes. Right, and it probably has nothing to do with play. He played well last year, but it was probably a package of
You know what I want to know too is like, what was the initial offer,
right,
and then
yeah.
Seattle going, hey, do you think we can get more?
Yeah, we think we can. Let's just
throw it out there and see.
And then they go, Drew Lock, Noah Fant, this is Russell Wilson you're talking about.
Yeah,
call us back. Click.
When they would have parted ways like a pack of gum.
Yeah,
you know, it's like that's the feeling you have at this moment. Like, you know, the Broncos totally got fleeced. And then the problem with it is that the Broncos got fleeced and then doubled down on it.
I know.
And that's where I think the issue. I mean, for years, we always said the Herschel Walker trade was the worst in NFL history because the Cowboys took all those picks and turned it into a dynasty team.
And now look at what Seattle is going to get down the road. This will be one of those picks. This will be one of those things we might look back and say, look at who they got. They got this guy from the yep. Russell Wilson trade. They got this guy from the Russell Wilson trade or whatever. Look at what we're doing with Miami, right? Look at the Laremy Tunsil trade. Look what Miami has been did all with those picks with Laremy Tunsil. What they turned those into.
I mean, yeah, right? they didn't draft anyone, but I mean, look, all the players that they were able to bring in.
They were able to take those picks and turn them into trading them for Tyreek. So it's more than just getting a youthful player. It's the package of currency, right? It's what I got currency. These either picks I'm going to use or picks I'm going to package or this or that.
It's
right?
Like NFL picks are more valuable than the dollar.
Exactly. Yeah.
I wonder what the exchange rate is.
Exactly. All right. On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That is Ron with two N's. We got Connor O'Gara next hour to preview the SEC championship game between Georgia and LSU. You don't want to miss that. As we continue, it's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, again, coming up next hour, we have got Connor O'Gara, SEC title game in Atlanta, Georgia, and LSU. We'll talk about both of those teams. First year for Brian Kelly in Baton Rouge. Remember, it started off terrible. They lost to Florida State, of all teams. And they were like, oh, Florida State, they haven't done anything in a couple of years. And they beat LSU. And everyone was like, well, there's the for sale signs on Brian Kelly's house. Oh, that was quick. But he turned the Tigers around. Now, unfortunately, this could have been a lot more interesting had they just pulled the trigger on beating Texas A&M in the season finale. They would have had two losses, and it could have been a like, if you because they lost to LSU, I mean, Florida State, and they lost to Tennessee. And those weren't bad losses, but if they had run the table and beat Georgia, you'd be like, well, if certain if circumstances pop up, you could get a two-loss LSU team, SEC champion LSU team in there. But no, they lose to Texas A&M. That scenario is now out the door. But Brian Kelly did a good job. Did a good job. I think he's building something there in Baton Rouge. So it just goes to show you that sometimes you just need a little patience. Don't get all up in arms when it doesn't work out right away. Brian Kelly's a good coach. He's been at Notre Dame a long time. Coaching Notre Dame is different than coaching in a lot of places around the country. It is a different kind of atmosphere there. It's a different kind of fan base. You are dealing with boosters around the globe. Around the globe. Their tentacles go everywhere. So it's a lot different. And yes, there was a conversation of coming to the SEC and being sort of the kettle pot that is the SEC. There's no doubt about it. There's an environment in Baton Rouge that's a lot hotter than in South Bend, even though you are dealing with very, very powerful, influential people that are Notre Dame alum. But he handled that fire pretty well up until losing to Texas A&M. I think LSU's story would have been a lot more fun this weekend had they beaten a bad Texas A&M team and then went into this game with the possibility of beating Georgia and then being in a conversation, a unique conversation with two losses, but an SEC title. But that's not going to happen. So Connor O'Gara next hour as we continue with Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.